Jackson, W266DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper. Two people have died in a vehicle crash and explosion at Niagara Falls Rainbow Bridge. American Aaron Beatty was stuck in Canada.
I was crossing the pedestrian bridge going back into the United States, and there's a big cloud of black smoke, and they said everyone had to walk back to Canada.
Officials say no sign of terrorism. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
How quickly we saw this escalation in the security measures, even at the Buffalo Airport, once the crash took place at that border crossing. You have to remember, these border crossings are considered extremely sensitive sites by both the U.S. and the Canadian governments. And then once we saw this kind of turn in the investigation, that the evidence was growing that it was, in fact, an accident, we saw them very quickly dial that back.
The Rainbow Bridge remains closed. A temporary ceasefire between Israel and Hamas is delayed by one day.
The pause in the fighting will make way for the exchange of hostages held by Hamas and prisoners held by Israel. A statement from the director of the National Security Council says all of that will not happen before Friday. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says this does not mean the end of the war.
We will continue eliminating Hamas in the north, by the way, and in the south. We will continue that effort until we have an absolute victory.
Through an interpreter, the prime minister also said Israel wants all of the 240 hostages returned. Linda Kenyon, CBS News.
AAA says some 55 million Americans will travel 50 miles or more from home over the Thanksgiving travel period. CBS's Chris Van Cleve ran into a family on the East Coast.
We met the Ballo family at a rest stop in Delaware, giving 5-year-old Cole and 2-year-old Maddox a break after a nearly 3-hour drive from Long Island, with hours more to go.
We're excited to see family. We've had, a COVID baby, so nobody got to meet him. So we're going to finally travel down to Bethesda, Maryland, see family.
Three people have died and three are still missing after a landslide on Monday in the southeast Alaska fishing community of Wrangell. Town spokesman Mason Villarma.
This most certainly is a trying time for our community, but as always, this little town of ours has banded together and shown quite some resilience.
Tesla CEO Elon Musk and others knew the automaker's cars had a defective autopilot system and still let the cars be driven unsafely. That according to a ruling from a Florida judge who found reasonable evidence. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum.
It's one thing to be found negligent. It's quite another when a company intentionally knows of foreseeable dangers and still markets the car as safe for use. A jury could find that Tesla should never have released the autopilot feature, or it should have properly warned that autopilot was not quite yet ready for prime time.
This is CBS News.
Make the hiring process work for you. With Indeed's end-to-end hiring solution, you can attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Start at Indeed.com/credit.
The bakers of Country Hearth and Village Hearth Breads are proud to support local education with Loaves for Learning, the program that makes it easy to earn money for your school.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Flags across Wisconsin are lowered to honor the victims of the Waukesha Christmas Parade attack, which happened 2 years ago Wednesday. 6 people were killed and 60 others were injured. A permanent memorial was dedicated in Waukesha on Tuesday. Wisconsin deer hunters registered more than 92,000 deer over the opening weekend of the gun season. That's a 16% drop from last year and 10% lower than the 5-year average. Jeff Pritzel is with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
That wasn't unexpected because of comparing last year. We had snow cover. We didn't this year. And so we kind of anticipated we wouldn't hit last year's opening weekend marks.
It was one of the safest opening weekends on record. Only 2 people were injured by gunshots. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
It's the Packers and the Lions on Thanksgiving. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Detroit has hosted an NFL game on Thanksgiving since 1934. The tradition continues when the Lions face Green Bay, kickoff at 11:30 a.m. on CBS. 17 players on the Packers injury list, including rookie tight end Luke Musgrave, who had to be hospitalized with an abdominal injury after beating the Chargers on Sunday. Head coach Matt LaFleur.
He didn't say anything all game. You know, something came up and he'd been in the hospital.
NBA, big game for the Bucks. They lay their 5-game winning streak on the line when they take on Drew Holiday and the Celtics, 6:30 tonight in Boston. Giannis, interviewed on Bally Sports Wisconsin, asked about Chris Middleton, surpassing Sidney Moncrief for leading scorer in franchise history.
He's number four now. How cool is that for you?
It's really cool, but he's not catching me. He's not catching me. Got a long way to go.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 29 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 40 tomorrow. Lows around 21 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM. WAUK.
And never miss a minute.
It's time for The Rick Smith Show. Now, here is the voice of the working class, Rick Smith.
This is the best of The Rick Smith Show.
And welcome, brothers, sisters, working class heroes. This is The Rick Smith Show. Thanks so much for being here today on the big program. Lots to get to, lots to talk about. We come to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota, the studios of KTNF AM 950, one of our radio partners, who thankfully put together a fabulous event last evening, talking about voting, and we're going to talk about that today with Greg Pallast, our good friend, and the director, star hero, however you want to frame it, of the movie Vigilante, Georgia's vote suppression hitman, or, you know, vote thieves, more likely vote thieves. And look, the amazing response we got from both events. We did an event in Chicago with our radio partners, WCPT AM 820 there, and here KTNF here in Minneapolis put on a fabulous event to show the movie and had, you know, people come out, packed houses, angry, and rightfully so when you see this movie. And we're going to be going to other locations, other affiliates of ours. We're going to be in Milwaukee on October 22nd. We've got an event planned there, and when we get the final details, we're going to get that out to our listeners so that they can, if you're in the Milwaukee area, come along. We're looking at Toledo and Columbus and other places to make sure that we get people to see this movie, because voting is that important. We're in a moment where, again, the next scheme, and we talk about this often. You go back to 2000. And Greg Pallast was the guy who broke the story of voting while black. The fact that you had thousands, tens of thousands of minority voters just chucked off the voting rolls. And one of my favorite parts that Greg uncovered is, you know, in 2000, they predicted someone was going to commit a felony in 2007, and they were going to get them. And they threw them off the voting rolls in 2000 for a crime they may commit down the road, which would really be, you know, I'm assuming going to be one of the next schemes conservatives come up with to block the vote. And I find it ironic that we're in a moment where the Trumpkins and the conservatives are running around screaming hair on fire that they got an election stolen from them, when there's no proof of this. There's none of it. I can go back and I can show you 2000. I can show you the 2004, what they tried in 2008, what they tried in 2012. We can go through and document what Republican legislatures have done across this country to limit people's access to the ballot box. Now you go, well, they're suppressing the vote. No, that's stealing the votes. Semantics. We're just using words to say what really is. And what they've done is they've made it legal to steal the votes. They've made it legal to rig the elections. You go back to 2000, tens of thousands of people, they just arbitrarily threw off the list because they had names that might sound like felons. Here's the problem. None of those people were felons In fact, Greg Palast, after the fact, went and found a bunch of these people who lived in the same home, had never committed a crime, but were denied their right to vote. And in an election where, in this nation, was decided by what, 500 and some votes in Florida, swung the presidency to George W. Bush. When you're kicking tens of thousands of black voters off the rolls, chances are pretty good that election would have gone the different direction. And we would be a very different country right now. So you go, but you know, we can write those after the fact. No, you can't. Once the election was over, and once Bush took power and moved us in the direction that he moved us and his administration moved us, there's no undoing the bad acts. Crime paid. And they tried it again in 2004 and succeeded with the caging. You know, hey, we're going to send out a bunch of envelopes and we're going to have them not forwarded, so that if you missed the mail that day, or if you went on vacation and had your mail held, or whatever reason, or you moved down the block, you got thrown off the voting rolls. So when you went to go cast your ballot, they said, sorry, can't help you. And you didn't get to vote. The amazing part of this, and I talk to my friends all the time, they go, well, you know, I would have done this. And I, no, you couldn't have, because there was no mechanism for that. You go to 2008, 2012, what did they try? Voter ID laws. We got to stop people from voting. I go back to 2010. There was a candidate for governor in Pennsylvania who ultimately won, Tom Corbett. He was asked, you know, what do you think your chances are? And he was very candid and honest. And this is where I give them credit. They are honest. They are telling us what they're doing. They're not lying. It's right up front. He said, if we can hold the vote down in Philadelphia, we'll do fine. If we can hold the vote down. Mike Terzai, Speaker of the House in Pennsylvania in 2012, said, we passed voter ID. Voter ID, done. So we can elect Governor Romney as president. That was the intention. It wasn't none of this nonsense about making sure we're going to make sure that the right person, but nonsense. The instances of people going and voting as someone else or illegally voting on purpose, almost unfindable. And in the cases that we do find them, well, they're Republicans. Because it's hard to do. It's hard for one individual to go in and vote multiple times. And then to say they magnified it by hundreds of thousands, if not millions of times, is pure fantasy. When the reality is, and this is, again, it comes back down to something my mother always said, when you point your finger at someone, you got three pointing back at you. And this is one of those things. They're pointing their finger at the Democrats. They stole the election. They stole it. We were robbed. Joe Biden stole the election, because evidently I had someone tell me this once. During COVID, he figured out how to do coding. He was in the basement typing away, learning coding, so that he could go and recode all of the machines so that only he would win the election. Not down ballot. No, we don't need any additional senators or House candidates. None of that. Only he would win. And all the Republicans who won, they won fair and square. But Joe Biden, because he's a mastermind, but he's adult and he's slow and sleepy, but a mastermind, learned coding and went in. And do you see the fun and entertainment in this? Do you see how ridiculous this whole thing is? Because they're trying to cloud the real truth. The real truth, simple. They've been rigging elections for years, but they've been doing it right out in broad daylight. The next scheme to come along, cross-check, was one of the schemes they used in 16 and 20 to say, you know what, I think this person, you know, John Doe, there's a John Doe or Jimmy Brown or Juan Hernandez. There's one of these in five different states. There's 100 of them in five different states. They must all be the same, all voting, all of them. Not bothering to check middle names, not bothering to check if they're the same person, just wipe them all out. And that's what they do. They know, based on zip code, where the poor people live. And this really is an assault on working people. So no matter what color your skin, no matter what gender, what orientation, no matter what division you are in this country, if you're a working person, this should make you angry because you're next. Understand the wealth class of this country, they don't want you voting because they know what we're eventually going to vote for. We're going to vote for better wages, hours, conditions, better opportunities for our children, health care, retirement security. We're going to vote for things that make working class lives better. That's not, you don't need to be a crystal ball to figure that out. You don't need to be clairvoyant. Eventually, that's what happens. And they know that. The wealth class knows this. And they know that we're going to go, they have all the money. We do all the work. We show up, we punch the clock, we move the boxes, we move the trucks, we build the houses, we pave the roads, we do all the work. And they take all the reward. And eventually they know we're going to get tired of that. We're going to get angry because we're angry right now. The spasms that we're seeing are anger. The anger is because, well, we're struggling to get by. No matter where you are on the economic scale, you know, an old timer told me one time, no matter how much money you make at the, you know, in the working class, you're still $100 short. That old day late and a dollar short. That's the reality for most working people. Because wages have been stagnant for 30, 40 years. Healthcare has been being taken away. Retirement security, forget about. Job security, meh. We're in an at-will employment world now. Thank you, Donald Trump and the Supreme Court. So the question then keeps coming back to, how much of this will we tolerate? How much of this will we put up with? And when will we say enough is enough? And this is why the event that we had with Greg Palast, both in Chicago and here in Minneapolis, were fantastic, because people came out and their anger was directed in the right place. Their anger was, how do we make sure that all of us get the right to vote, that all of us have an opportunity to cast our ballot and exercise our right to the franchise? Now we need to take that anger, that frustration, and we need to expand it. We need to be telling friends and neighbors, even our Trump supporting friends, because I truly believe even they, to a certain degree, I'm not going to say 100%, but even they, to a certain degree, think everyone should vote. This is a democracy. You know, we vote for our representatives. Yes, I know it's a constitutionally limited democratic republic. I get that. But we vote for our representatives. And when our votes aren't counted, and when our votes are blocked, when our voices are silenced, this entire experiment falls apart. Now, there are some who want that. You listen to the Republicans running for office virtually anywhere in this country. They don't believe in the voice at the ballot box. They believe in their people having say. They believe, again, this whole freedom, this whole rights argument that they make, it's only their rights and their freedoms. And we don't want to share that with everyone. Again, back to the original intent of the Constitution. You know, my original intent friends, you know, I always ask them, you know, can you be honest? You know, you want blacks back in the fields, women back in the kitchen, and gays back in the closet. You can say it. We all know that's what you mean. You can say it. They usually don't, though. But I have had some who say, look, the original intent of this country was only white landowning males over 21 should be allowed to vote. Women shouldn't be allowed to vote. Minorities shouldn't be allowed to vote. Non-landowners shouldn't be allowed to vote. Only the landed gentry, the gentleman farmer, because they know better. And we're hearing that kind of rhetoric in a bunch of places. You know, the men know better. I think it was J.D. Vance here not too long ago, if I'm not mistaken. You know, we're saying something along the lines of, you know, women get better outcomes when men decide. Question is, are you ready to go backward? Are you ready to have those rights taken away? Because what we've seen, especially for our female citizens, their rights have been diminished. The right to control their own bodies. And if they're willing to do that to women, what are they going to do to you next? I know. It's all about the babies. And I agree. I'm with you to a point. Which is also interesting, when we were in Erie, there was a big, pro-life rally out in front of the event we were in. I go out and I engage with them. And, the several people that were willing to talk with me, when I said, okay, let's say we're on the same page. We do away with Roe. Why don't we just get contraception to everyone? Oh, no, can't do that. And you go, why? We have the ability to ensure that people don't get pregnant, and that you don't have to deal with that. We have the ability to do it. If we just, as a nation, said we're going to make contraception free and accessible, we're going to teach comprehensive sex education so young people can protect themselves. What's wrong with that? It seems sane, rational, civil. Seems like it might cut down on some things, doesn't it? To a T, none of the people were willing to come along. In fact, I even had one person say, no, we should do away with contraception. Now, I've been saying, the ultimate goal in this whole right-wing screed is about taking control away from all working people. And it's going to start with women. First, that, and then contraception for couples. That's going to go by the wayside as well, if they get their wish. And that's why voting's so important. Now, the abortion issue is important. Yep. The issues for gay, lesbians, and transgenders, absolutely important. But it's the economics. For me, it's this moment. We've got a president who's talking about investing in this country, investing in our infrastructure, reshoring manufacturing, getting people the ability to have a voice in the job, security in the workplace by supporting unions. That's the direction that I think Democrats need to really be focusing. And interestingly enough, what got the best applause lines at both events, the idea that we need to be voting in a way that spreads economic opportunity so people have the ability to participate in this wonderful experiment. I'd love to hear your thoughts. Email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. Love to hear your thoughts. Working Class Heroes Radio Tour, heading to Sioux City, Iowa. I've got a big event there, so you're not going to want to miss that. If you miss any portion of our radio program, make sure you check out the website, thericksmithshow.com. Grab our podcast. Take the program on the go wherever you go. And as always, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com. I do answer all emails personally. I can take a quick break right back after this. Stick around. You're listening to The Rick Smith Show. We're working people. Come to talk.
Saving work in America, one show at a time. The Rick Smith Show.
You're listening to the best of The Rick Smith Show. We will be returning on January 3rd. I'm Rick Smith, and this is Labor History in 2. On this day in labor history, the year was 1979. That was the day that the National March on Washington for Lesbian and Gay Rights took place in Washington, D.C. Estimates of marchers ranged from as few as 75,000 to as many as 200,000. The year of the march was significant. It marked the 10th anniversary of the police raid at the Stonewall Inn, a gay bar in New York's Greenwich Village. When police raided Stonewall, it sparked a series of protests that helped launch the modern LGBT rights movement. 10 years later, gay and lesbian Americans still faced significant employment and legal discrimination. Many also faced violence. The published program for the event included a tribute to Harvey Milk, the openly gay member of the San Francisco Board of Supervisors who had been assassinated a year earlier. Lyrics to the song Harvey Milk's Body was written to the tune of John Brown's Body. The program also included an article urging march participants to lobby Capitol Hill for justice. A sample letter to Congress was printed as a template. It noted that many lesbian and gay men faced unjust discrimination in employment and called for change.
The march organizers issued 5 demands. The second demand was that President Carter issue an order banning discrimination based on sexual orientation in the federal government, the military, and federally contracted private employment. The program included a list of organizations that supported the march. Not many labor unions endorsed, with a few notable exceptions, such as the Actors' Equity Association, 3 AFSCME locals, and 1 American Federation of Teachers local. More demonstrations in Washington, D.C. followed. A march held in 1993 drew crowds estimated at 1 million, a powerful gathering for the movement to end LGBT discrimination.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
So, I had a really great time in Chicago meeting folks who came out to say hello, to see the Vigilante movie. Also, Minneapolis, same thing. Gary, good meeting you, buddy. And all the people who came out to say hello and to share their thoughts of the program. And we had just some great moments debating and discussing this film and a wide range of topics. But again, we're coming to Milwaukee on October 22nd. If you're in the area, make sure you reach out to me. We'll get you tickets and access to be able to see the Greg Palast movie Vigilantes, Georgia's vote suppression hitman. I want to quick get to an email. Bill sent me an email saying, hey, I heard you talking about Chicago. I heard you talking about the fight for the 8-hour workday. Do we really need a law in this day and age that says a 8-hour workday is mandatory? And, you know, I've had this conversation a number of times over the last several months, and I don't know where this is coming from. There's like an anti 8-hour day movement going on, even though corporate America has been tearing it down for decades. When I first started working, the 8-hour day was sacrosanct. You worked 8 hours. That was it. And if you worked over 8 hours, they paid you overtime, time and a half. It wasn't this, oh, let's work you 40 hours straight and then we'll talk about overtime. Or better yet, we're going to be more flexible. We're going to be more flexible. Maybe you work 80 hours this week and nothing next week. And you go, no, I don't think that's quite how this should work. We want to put protections into place that protect people's lives and their livelihoods. And it was one of these things where I said on the show the other day, and this is what has gotten the attention. Someone reached out to me and said that we don't need the 8-hour workday anymore. And I think this is where the email is coming from. We don't need it anymore because the reason they put it into place was to protect manual laborers in the past because work was difficult. We came out of Scranton and went down into the coal mines and saw just how horrible the working conditions were. And, you know, working, you know, 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day, what that does to someone's body. So their argument is, well, we don't do that anymore. We're better than that. We don't do that anymore. So we can work 16-hour days because all you're doing is sitting on the couch. And this is what the person told me. Well, most people just sit on the couch and tap away on their laptop while they're doing other things. So they're not really working. And I find it interesting in how we're diminishing what people do, because this is another way of pitting people against each other. Well, what you do isn't real work. What I do is real work. And you go, wait a second. What people do to put food on the table, a roof over their head, clothes on their backs and the backs of their children, that's their livelihood. That's their work. They're trading hours of their lives for the things that they need. This is the reality, and I don't care if you're swinging a hammer, driving a truck like I do, you know, stringing electrical wires, or you're sitting on the couch tapping away at the laptop. You are working, and that work should be respected. That time should be respected. And as a society, we shouldn't be encouraging employers to go, no, our time doesn't matter. Please use and abuse our time as at will, by all means. We'd be happy to work 16, 18 hours a day because we get to sit on our couch. See how ludicrous this argument is? Now, look, the argument of, hey, it was harder back then. Yeah, I agree. Work was harder back then. And maybe we make lives better as opposed to making them differently worse. So I appreciate the email, but I got to tell you, I'm concerned. that this is this idea, this thought somehow takes hold, and we end up in a scenario where people are going, sure, abuse my time. Like we see with truck drivers who are sitting at the port with nowhere to go because no one has to pay them, and which is why I'm thrilled Andy Levin has come out with that piece of legislation that would pay truck.
You're listening to The Shaw, WAUK.
CBS News Brief. Two people have died in a vehicle crash and explosion near Niagara Falls Rainbow Bridge that forced a shutdown there and at three other border bridges, but officials now say it was not terrorism. CBS's Catherine Herridge.
The FBI is digging into the driver's background to understand what led to the crash. Meantime, Homeland Security confirms to CBS News three of the bridges have reopened.
In the war between Israel and Hamas, no hostages will be freed until at least Friday. That's when Hamas is expected to begin releasing 50 women and children in exchange for 150 Palestinian women and teenagers being held by Israel. CBS's Holly Williams in Tel Aviv.
Israel's military said that the hostage release procedure has not yet been finalized. But one detail we do have is that the Red Cross will be able to visit those hostages who are not released and take them medicine.
With millions traveling this Thanksgiving, you'll have plenty of company. This woman at New Jersey's Newark Airport recommends...
Be patient. Yeah. A lot of patience.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers has pardoned another 82 people, mostly for low-level drug offenses or minor theft. Evers has now pardoned over 1,100 people in his time in office. That's significantly more pardons than any other governor in state history. About a third of those pardoned Wednesday were convicted of possessing or selling marijuana. Felons are eligible for a pardon 5 years after the end of their criminal sentence and cannot have any pending criminal charges or be registered sex offenders. Wisconsin officials are confirming the latest case of bird flu in the state. The Department of Agriculture says more than 51,000 chickens at a poultry farm in Trempealeau County were euthanized to contain the virus. Five birds were infected in a backyard in Taylor County earlier this year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Lows level off around 29 tonight under partly cloudy skies. Southwesterly winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. Daytime highs approaching 40 tomorrow. Lows around 21 tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 36 degrees.
Roll into the holidays and celebrate with fun food and music at Foxview Lanes in Waukesha. The holidays are on the way, and Foxview Lanes is celebrating with their holiday party on Saturday, December 2nd. The celebration includes live music from The Unexpected at 8 p.m. and features a food buffet from 9 to 11 p.m. Foxview Lanes, 2440 West Sunset Drive in Waukesha. Book your lanes for Christmas and New Year's Eve before they're gone. Log on to foxviewlanes.com.
It's fully leaded education talk. Hard facts with a humorous twist. Check out Busted Pencils, Tuesdays at 7 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK, and on the Civic Media app. Your home of The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings from 8 till 10 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
I'm Hightower saying, hocus pocus, this is how the rich get richer.
This is the best of the Rick Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Now, here is Rick Smith.
Welcome back to the Rick Smith Show. Check out our website, thericksmithshow.com. So we are on the Working Class Heroes radio tour, but taking some sidetracks, showing the movie Vigilante, Georgia's vote suppression hitman. And got here in the Class War studio. Our good friend Greg Pallast, the director of the movie, the star of the movie, the hero here. Greg, thanks for taking time for us.
I'm thrilled to take time with you, except the real heroes are the people who are getting mushed. There's a hero in our film. The film Vigilante is all about this new, strange, and frightening system, which they're starting in Georgia, but they moved out to now 9 other states, where any voter can challenge another voter's right to vote. That's right. In Georgia, under a bill signed by Governor Brian Kemp, not that he's trying to steal the election, but he passed a law that said that any voter can challenge any other voters. And lo and behold, 88 vigilante voter challengers have challenged over 250,000 Georgians. And this is a shock, Rick, but most of them are black and young. In other words, voters of color, the color being blue. And so, Rick, you saw the film tonight. What did you think?
You know, as a white guy, I got to tell you, appalled, angry, wanting to vote in the most militant way possible, but not surprising. In talking with people who identify with what your film points out, there wasn't the same kind of outrage that I felt. It's just, hey, that's just Tuesday for those folks. And that's I'm appalled by that even.
Well, you know, this film, I mean, the most difficult thing is that we're showing this film Samizdat style with, you know, organizations, Rainbow Push, Black Voters Matter Funds, ACLU in Los Angeles, in San Francisco on the 19th. And then you're taking it on the road to Milwaukee and hopefully Toledo and other states. What are we doing? We're exposing a direct threat to democracy. Now it sounds like, sounds like one of those good for you PBS films, you know, with the white guys in front of the bookcases talking down to you. We don't do that bullshit here. This is the real story we get inside, where we go meet these vigilante voter hunters, and we also meet the guys that they vigilanted, that they've taken the vote away from. So we have a little clip here in which you will meet this vigilante voter hunter, and again, all 88 of them are GOP operatives. This guy is the Republican Party chairman in Columbus, Georgia, and he has challenged, are you ready? 4,000 voters, their right to have their ballot counted. Now, he ain't the champ. There's also a woman who's challenged 32,000 voters. You'll hear from her, too. This guy's challenged 4,000 voters. Interestingly, almost all of them soldiers out of Fort Benning, Georgia. Almost all of them African-American soldiers out of Fort Benning, Georgia. And then you will hear one of the soldiers that he challenged, Major Gamaliel Turner, who is the U.S. military's expert on warfare of the future. He's working on a weapon for Ukraine right now. And these are the people whose right to vote that they're challenging. So take a listen to this, Rick. This is the vigilante. This guy actually dresses, if you see the film Vigilante, the guy dresses up like a vigilante. He has a six gun and a cowboy hat. And by the way, the gun is loaded. And then he meets the major, not a pretend warrior, a real warrior. And here's the two of them meeting.
Now, this is one of those moments where in the film where it's almost comical. Because the guy comes in like he's, you know, Doc Holliday, and he's got his six gun and his costume on, and it made me laugh until it made me afraid.
Yes,
that there are people like this out there, who
he's you know, you think, oh, this is some nutcase. He is a chairman of the Republican Party in Georgia. He's challenged 4,000 voters, mostly black soldiers. This ain't no joke. Don't forget, and remember, they've challenged 250,000 voters. Joe Biden took the state by just over 11,000 votes. You had this tiny margin of victory where you had two very progressive Democrats win the state of Georgia. And one, by the way, is running for re-election, Senator Reverend Raphael Warnock. And Stacey Abrams is having a rematch with Governor Brian Kemp. There's a lot on the table, including control of the United States Senate. So if you think that this is just some nutcases in Georgia, it's a lot of fun. They're going to determine whose Senate it is, whether it's going to be Joe Biden's Senate or, hey, Mitch McConnell. And if people choose Mitch McConnell, that's okay with me, Rick. I'm in favor of democracy. But they aren't.
As long as everyone
gets to
vote.
They don't want to let people vote.
Yeah.
So here they are. Here's Doc Holliday, the vigilante, versus the major.
There you go. So let me ask you this, because how do you get this guy? How do you get this guy to show up in his costume and fiddle with his piece? And how do you and to be so confident that, you know, he was... How do you get this guy? Well, how do you get this guy to do this? Come
people
on.
See my hat. I'm an investigative reporter. I'm the old style gumshoe investigative reporter. And the way I know how to do this is that I was an investigator for 25 years before I became an investigative reporter. So I know how you get inside, underground, and do these things through cutouts, through false fronts. We do every type of detective trick that's way beyond what you usually see on so-called investigative reporting in on TV or news. And this is something I also learned at BBC Television in England and the Guardian newspaper. So we start out, I don't necessarily say that, they don't necessarily say it's Greg Palast who's going to be doing an interview. They say, oh, there'll be a reporter. And but we want to talk to you about your courageous challenge to voters. See, because remember, they say these are illegal voters, the people who don't live in Georgia. Well, if you're assigned by the commander-in-chief, to go to another military base, you don't become a non-citizen. You don't lose your citizenship just because you've been transferred by the military temporarily to another place, and you remain a citizen of your birth state where you live in Georgia. But there's a problem with these soldiers, because so many of them are African-American and Hispanic. And by the way, the military, very large contingent of American Native voters, and they've got a problem. They vote blue.
What also is interesting to me is, you know, the Republicans are supposed to be the party of the military. I mean, the part that right. You didn't even talk about this in the film, but it's the part that grabbed me. They, you know, they wrap themselves in the flag. They can't walk by a soldier without a photo op. And yet here they are by the thousands. In fact, the one woman you pointed out, 32,000 some odd votes that she challenged of people that she's never going to know, never have met, couldn't even trip over, yet she, again, very confident in her right to be able to challenge their ability to cast their ballot.
By the way, don't let that go by. Rick just told you, one woman, one GOP operative, she's running for vice chair of the Republican Party in Georgia. Very, you know, she's a big Trump supporter. She works with Marjorie Taylor Greene, and she personally has challenged the right of 32,000 people to have their ballots counted. You say, how could this be? The answer is, under this law passed by Brian Kemp, because it's the only way he can win re-election. Now, I'm not saying I'm for or against Brian Kemp. I'm a journalist. I don't choose that. But I think that maybe the voters and not these vigilantes ought to make that decision. She's never, as you'll see, we also have a clip. This is the trailer for the film, and you'll hear a woman screaming at me. I said, well, you don't know these people, but you challenged their right to vote. And then she throws me out. I wasn't dawdling, because she had a loaded shotgun near the door. And as you'll see in the film, she has ammo stacked up all over the place and guns everywhere. It's just, it's crazy.
Great
clip. You want to laugh, but she did remove the votes of 32,000 people that she's never met. She never called. She never said she doesn't know anything about, except I showed her pictures of these black people whose votes she went after. This is the tragedy that of Georgia democracy. But unfortunately, instead of American democracy coming to Georgia, Georgia's corrosion of democracy is spreading to Arizona, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Florida. It's on and on. This is a very dangerous new thing, and look out, it's coming. Martin Sheen, who introduces the film, President Bartlett, my favorite president. President Bartlett introduced the film and said, listen, it's coming to a state near you. The film's coming to a state near you, but he said, but so is the vigilante voter con coming to you.
No, it's an incredible clip, and I hope people see the movie. We'll make sure we get links out on how folks can find a place to come and see it. We're going to be screening it next in Milwaukee on the 22nd of October. So if you're in Milwaukee, by all means, reach out to us, and we'll get you access to being able to come and see it. We're also looking at other states as we continue our tour. You listen to The Rick Smith Show with Greg Palast. Check out his website, gregpalast.com, one of my favorite investigative reporters, also the director and star and hero and writer and all of that of the movie Vigilante, Georgia's vote suppression hitman. Again, a fabulous film. Now, let me ask you this, Greg, because one of the things that we've been talking about over these couple of days is it keeps coming up that this is class war, just by another name. Explain that.
Yeah. Votes, we use this term vote suppression, which is a polite way of saying shafting you out of your vote. But it's really, even though most of the people challenged are black Americans, it's really class war by other means. Because look, people don't steal votes to steal elections. They steal votes to steal the money. In the case of Brian Kemp, he's one of the biggest plantation owners in Georgia. Now, plantations today in Georgia, they ain't picking cotton. You get that from, you know, from abroad these days. No. They are picking toilet paper. They have Brian Kemp has a company called Plantation LLC. His family was the first, by the way, to bring enslaved Africans to Georgia, which used to be believe it or not, before the Revolutionary War, it was a free territory. Slavery was banned. It's always the economics. See, if they let you vote. Then you're going to vote to say, well, maybe the rich ought to pay their fair share of taxes. Ooh, maybe we ought to say that this company can't poison our kids with arsenic in the water supply. All those terrible things that you voters, you irresponsible voters, do to take the hard-won wealth inherited by the wealthy. And this is generational wealth. And they're not going to give it up just because you want to vote them out of office. So they're going to make you jump through hoops, and they're going to make sure that certain people, and they don't care if it's warriors that we send to Iraq and Afghanistan, they're going to take away the votes that will take away their money and their power. They don't want you to have democracy in the workplace, so they don't want you to be able to vote for a labor union. So they chip away at democracy at every corner. But again, it's about the cash. And that's why when we talk about vote suppression, yes, in America, that is a racial look. But I got to tell you, follow the money.
Yeah. Now, we've done two of these events in Chicago at the Rainbow Push headquarters, and in Minneapolis at the Crooners Supper Club.
Great
and
place.
And both places, and you predicted it, both places, someone goes, well, why don't we just challenge all of their votes? And I'm opposed to that idea, but you know, some people are fighting for it quite.
Look, I see
quite
it
forcefully.
I see it. Look. You have 88, every single vigilante voter challenges, every single one, there's no exception, is Republican. I'm not being partisan about this. I'm a reporter. I'm giving you just the facts, ma'am. It's all Republicans. So a lot of people say, naturally, well, the law is there. You can challenge voters. Why don't you challenge 500,000 Republicans? Well, you know what? I see the point of it, and I would love the justice of that injustice. But you know what? Let's not legitimize this game. It's not a game. We're going to fight this game. And don't forget that you had an African-American and a Jewish man win the Senate seats in Georgia. They are very progressive. Joe Biden took the state in supposedly a redneck red state, which is BS. You let people vote and they'll do the right thing. That's why they don't want to let you vote. So we're not going to, you know, I don't agree in playing the game of, oh, if they're knocking off voters, let's get in a competition, see how many voters we can knock off. But I certainly see the delicious justice of it.
the movie Vigilantes, Georgia's vote suppression hitman. You can take a look at the information over at gregpalast.com. We'll get links out on social media how you can do that. Now, everyone universally has asked, you know, what do we do, Greg? I mean, the film points out a true injustice. And look, every election cycle for the last several, Republicans have come up with a new way, a new scheme, a new wrinkle in kicking people off the voting rolls. This is the next one, and there will be another and another and another. But what do we do now keeps coming up. So what is the answer in this moment?
It's going to keep coming up. Sorry. It's whack-a-mole. I've been doing this now, you know, so-called vote suppression investigations for 22 years. Back in the year 2000, Al Gore supposedly lost the presidency in Florida to George W. Bush by just 537 votes. And what I reported for The Guardian and BBC was that 58,000 African Americans were blocked from voting because they were, you know, they were felons, you know, mother stabbers and father rapers who aren't allowed to vote, except not one. And I want to repeat that. Not one of those black men removed from the voter rolls had committed any crime except voting while black. That's 22 years ago. I thought, okay, I did that story. I busted these guys. That's the end of it. No. Because Bush took the election by knocking off black voters. They said, well, that's a good system. And they expanded it. It became more sophisticated. We came up with this in 2016. The only reason why Donald Trump, Agent Orange, became president is that they used a system called cross-check, which eliminated 1.1 million voters. You know what they did? They took, in this case, they took everyone named Jose Garcia and everyone named James Brown, and they said, oh, if James Brown of Atlanta voted, and then we see James Brown voted in Kansas, well, that must be the same James Brown voting twice. We got to disqualify that voter. Well, James Brown is, you might say, well, that's a common name. Not for a Republican. And Jose Garcia. So they removed a lot of Jose Garcias and James Brown. And that's how you ended up with Agent Orange as president, because they stopped the voters. But you know what, Rick? We beat that. Now, it was too late for the 16 election, but we actually got, through political pressure and exposure, I did a film called The Best Democracy Money Can Buy, exposing this game, and I did this for Rolling Stone, and that trick called cross-check of putting, you know, saying all the Jose Garcias are the same voter, we put an end to it. It was stopped, because once it's exposed, most Americans, believe it or not, of any party, really believe everyone should vote. So they have to sell you this bullshit that, oh, it's going to be it's vote fraud that they're stopping or starting fraud. You know, that guy, Jose Garcia, he's voting all over the place. By the way, when I checked, the middle names never matched. I'm not kidding you. But that's the game. They're saying it's voter fraud and they're going to stop voter fraud. But they haven't been able to find these fraudulent voters, but they're removing people from voter rolls by the hundreds of thousands, blocking votes. Yeah, so I'm going to beat this system with the vigilante voters. We're going to beat them. We're going to expose it and stop it. We hope. I mean, by the midterm, it's maybe too late. Though I have to tell you, when I was just in Georgia, I actually was there at Gwinnett County, 37,000 Georgians in this one county were challenged by a few freakos. And the county elections board, one of them cited my material, my investigations, and said, this is all BS, and they refused to accept it. Now, we're going to have to beat this now, but the big danger coming up is 2024. That's why I want people to see vigilante. Not only do I want you to see it before this election, and by the way, you could get challenged, so you'll know what to do, which is you're going to have to bring every ID you've ever had in your life to the polling station. You might have to go back to the county clerk's office to fix your ballot. They call it curing. I'm sorry, it's not easy to do, but that's what you got to do for democracy.
Yep. Democracy is participatory. But let me ask you this, because all I hear, Greg, is that it's the Democrats who stole the elections and the steal and Donald Trump was cheated. That's all I'm hearing, Greg. You're the only one saying this.
Right. I know they've run this campaign, Rick, that the Democrats stole the election. Okay. Give me the evidence. I give you the evidence. You go into, you watch film Vigilante, you will meet the people that they said don't live in Georgia, and you will see me put them on camera in Georgia. you saw in my film Best Democracy Money Can Buy, the people they said are voting twice, you get to meet them. You know, they're not, you know, it's hard to get people to vote once, let alone twice. So, you know, oh, and in Vigilante, you see this, another film, we take on this film by, that was launched at Mar-a-Lago by Donald Trump called 2,000 Mules. And they say they have videotape of drop boxes where black people are stuffing in extra ballots. Well, no, you see a guy go up and legally drop in a ballot into a ballot box. I know he's black, but that doesn't mean he's a criminal. And that's what they're using. Show me the evidence. I show you the evidence. I actually went into a federal court and showed a federal judge the evidence. Brian Kemp and Donald Trump and his whole gang of vote fraud hunters, I'm waiting for the conviction of a single, I'm not talking about not thousands. They're saying millions of illegal voters. I'm not saying show me 1,000. I'm saying show me 5. I was able to find only 3 fraudulent voters in the last election, all 3 Republicans in Florida. But to get caught, it's so easy to get caught if you try to cheat, as these GOP retirees found out trying to, they tried to vote their dead spouses. Yes.
But this is the interesting part, because you know what they want, what the Republicans want people to believe, is there are all these people voting illegally. They're going to the polls and casting ballots illegally. Where the difference is, and this is the important part, where Republicans rigged the game even before the first ballot is cast, by throwing people off the voting rolls and denying people access to the franchise. That's the same kind of, you call it voter suppression, it's really vote theft.
Yes, so what's happening is, I know some people say, oh, well, the voting machines are rigged. That's not how they steal votes. That's not how it's done. It's done by taking people off the voter rolls for the most part, or disqualifying their ballots. Here's the thing. You may think you vote and say, oh, okay, I vote, and I'm sure they counted my ballot. How are you sure? And I'm not talking about little games. I mean, officially, they will say, oh, especially if you mailed in your ballot. And I know 70% of Americans either voted early or sent in their ballots in the last election. And what they were doing is they were mass disqualifying ballots. So be very careful when you fill out an absentee ballot. In states like Georgia, where they have something called exact match, if you registered but you didn't include your middle initial when you registered, but then you sign your ballot on the outside with your middle initial, they'll say it's not an exact match, and they throw out your ballot. And here's the trick. They don't throw out everyone's ballot. Send in a ballot, you got your zip code. And if I give me your zip code, I'll tell you how you voted. They know exactly who you are, what you are, and they decide they're going to throw out that ballot. And we call it in the voting business, called spoilage. Well, you don't spoil votes by leaving them out of the fridge. You spoil votes by disqualifying them. In an average presidential election, the official disqualification spoilage rate is about 2.5 million votes are thrown in the garbage. And in Florida, the chance of your ballot being thrown out if you're black is 700% higher than if you're white. And that's just the truth. And that's American democracy. So we got to fix this thing, and that's your job. I can tell you about it, but all I can tell you what the problem is, you got to take out the wrench and fix it, which means you go check your ballot, you check your registration 60 days before an election, you make sure everyone you know votes, because you know what? They can't steal all the votes all the time. So if you just overwhelm the gangsters.
And this is one of those things where, you know, it is class warfare, and the sooner we figure that out and come together and race to the polls, the better off we're going to be. Lastly, the movie. How can we get it? How can we see it? Where are we going? Where are you going next? Oakland?
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to Oakland, the Grand Lakes Theater, where they premiered Black Panther. It's a beautiful, gorgeous theater, on October 19th. We're going to be, this is our first announcement of it, the ACLU is sponsoring a showing in Los Angeles on October 26th. So go to gregpalace.com, and as we start doing showings all over the place, and guess what? Why don't you show the film? We will actually get files, discs, whatever you need to show films to your massage circle, your pyrotechnics organization, your church, your synagogue, your Wiccan meeting, I don't care. We will help you out. Republicans, too, if you believe in the vote, this is not partisan. This is about democracy, not about Democrats, okay? It's not left and right. It's about right and wrong. I want you to sponsor this film. So go to gregpalast.com. Get the information about where we're going to be showing it around and how you can get a copy. And some of these showings are free. But even if you have to pay, because if you lose democracy, that's kind of expensive.
There you go. Greg, I appreciate the time. As always, great stuff, my friend.
Thank you, Rick.
Our good friend Greg Palast again, gregpalast.com, where you can go to get the information. Also, if you're going to be in Milwaukee on October 22nd, email me, rick@thericksmithshow.com, and we'll make sure you get tickets to come see us while we're in Milwaukee. Let's take a quick break. Right back after this.
Radio of, for, and by we the working people. The Rick Smith Show.
Thanks for tuning in to The Rick Smith Show. Be sure to follow...
You're listening to The Shaw.
WAUK 540 AM Jackson. W266 DR Waukesha.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.